Turn in your Bibles this afternoon to the book of Ephesians. I was just thinking in the last couple of weeks in the course of study and again yesterday and again this today how much I've learned in the book of Ephesians. It's been good. Even in dealing with what we would call the practical, it's been good to deal with that. Let's read verses 1 through 4. We'll be beginning to look at verse 4 today. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Last week we looked at verse 3. Abstaining from selfish sins, self-centered sins. That's where sin has its root, is in self. For self exaltation, self-gratification, and especially those sins mentioned that we looked at, fornication, all uncleanness, all of physical uncleanness in talking about a moral sense, in a moral sense, or covetousness. That's where those sins come from coveting. And we said, the last part of that verse says, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. There are things that are so wicked that as saints in the Lord's church, they should not exist. And ought to be there. Shouldn't even be mentioned, except maybe with detestation and abhorrence. And that goes contrary to the society in which we live. Because we're living in a society that today that has glorified those things. Or at least, it's not a big thing, you know. But it is with God. It is with God. In one of the letters to the Corinthians, he told us to flee fornication. For every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but fornication we defile our own body, our own flesh. We had looked at one point last week at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, and I wanted to look there in closing last week, because this is the thought we closed with but didn't turn to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, which we read in our Sunday school hour this morning. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. We said last week that's our word back there in Ephesians 5. It takes in all manner of unlawful sex. You name it. And it's got it. And some of the most horrendous things sexually, of a sexual nature, and it covers it. That word covers it. And such fornication as is not so much named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. I mean, this was something that wasn't even practiced among the Indians, the Moors, the Medes and the Persians, the Romans. What? And furthermore, it wasn't even talked about unless it was talked about in a detestable and abhorring manner. And today we just kind of have the attitude and opinion, oh, it's commonplace. You see how we've become desensitized? Is there an abhorrence of it? Now some of those sexual sins that are included in the meaning of that word, we still have an abhorrence for, or I find myself at least abhorring them. But how much longer? Because it's being pushed on us and rammed down our throats. You. We like to watch this show. It's not even on regular TV. The show, but the advertisement. They got two men kissing each other. Years ago, I said, I admired this family or that family or this pastor and his family for booting the TV out to the curb. How much more do we have to endure before we boot it out to the curb? You see, the more we allow that to be showed on TV and the more we see it, the more desensitized to it we become. Amen. No, that's not where we intended to go. It just finishing remarks of last week's verse 3. Moving into verse 4. He said, neither. Also. Filthiness or foolish talking or jesting which are not convenient. Also foolishness, or filthiness. You see, these thoughts portrayed in verse 4 have to do with our speech. And the behavior you see, the behavior is in verse 3, but also these in verse 4 are our speech and behavior. It is the same as those that were listed before. Of, if you permit me, we would say of a obscene nature. They are. It is talking about speech or behavior that incites the carnal lust. Filthiness. The word means obscenity. And that can be speech or behavior. We were not foreign to obscene gestures. And we certainly know what obscene speech is. Obscene language. Obscene dress. Dress today is so obscene, so provocative. And you understand, I can only talk as a man. And I know there are some women that are in of the same nature. Women today are encouraged, taught to dress provocative. And men are supposed to look at that and control their passions, their lust. And I don't want it to sound like I'm excusing a man who doesn't control his passions and lust. Because we're told in God's Word to flee. I love the Old Testament example of Joseph. It doesn't go into a lot of detail about how provocative that Potiphar's wife was. But she did all she could to entice him into the bed with her. And he fled. Amen. So we as men have an obligation to flee. But women are commanded to dress in modesty. In modesty. And there's been a lot of things tossed around the pulpits and stuff, what that word modesty means, and around Christian circles. But I guess the best definition could put to it is God honoring. Let that be your rule, let that be your God. Is it God honoring? Turn with me to Psalms chapter 53. Psalms chapter 53. And look here at verse 3. Every one of them is gone back. They are all together become filthy. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and they've done the bomb. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the wicked. He's not talking about saved people. The wicked. Are filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Such were we. And the only good that you and I do is when we do that which is pleasing to God. And anything else is wickedness and filthy. Now that... I know that's drawing the noose pretty tight. But that's right where this draws it.
Amen. Amen.
As we said this morning, all that we do is to be done to the honor and glory of God. Amen. Honoring Christ. Our Savior, our Redeemer. Turn with me to the book of James. James in chapter 1. In verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness. Everything that he said about every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Of his own will begat he us with the gospel, with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, superabundance of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. You see, we're to be walking according to the word of God. Not making excuses for it. For why we don't walk according to it. And that is what so many Christians today, myself included, at times, making excuses of why I don't walk according to the word of God. Where's our hatred for sin? Remember the day you were saved? Did you hate sin? That's what pricked your conscience, wasn't it? Your conscience was open to see your sinfulness. And you didn't like what you seen. For the first time in your life, you saw your sin as God sees it. What's happened to that? Is it still there? Is it still burning in you? Well, let's move on. That's filthiness. Obscene. Obscene speech and behavior. We shouldn't have to go through all the gestures included. I hope none of you are guilty of that obscenities. It's bad enough that we have to see it. And folks, that covers dancing too. I've seen some pretty embarrassing dancing. I mean, well, you know what I'm talking about. Of an obscene nature. Also in our verse, not only filthiness, he said also foolish talking. Foolish talking. It's vain and unprofitable speech. We would say it is empty speech. It's meaningless, but it's of an obscene sexual in nature, what benefit does it have other than to stir the passions and desires of the flesh? Speech, our speech ought to be suited to instruct, to edify. We just came out of the fourth chapter dealing with that. That's the purpose of the body of Christ. You all are the body of Christ. At 620 Palmetto Avenue, Melbourne, Florida. It is the responsibility of each one of us to instruct and to edify. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, chapter 12. Proverbs 12 and verse 23. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. The heart of the wicked. The men and women who do not honor God, their thoughts are
far away from God.
Their speech is foolishness. They've given themselves over to foolishness. They proclaim foolishness.
Not just with their mouth. Yes, with their mouth. But not just with their mouth. With all that they do. They proclaim foolishness.
Chapter 15. I told you this morning we'd get back to this 15th chapter. Something that struck me here. Look at verse 2. The tongue. Verse 1 talks about an answer, a soft answer. Turneth away wrath. Grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright. It uses knowledge to the good, to the pleasing. But the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The mouth of the wicked, it doesn't know how to speak good things. It speaks obscene things. Actually, we could label obscene everything which is against God. Let that sink in. If you use obscene language, you're acting as a fool. I dare say, if you didn't know me, I didn't know you, and I walked up to you on the street and said you were a fool, you'd get angry with me, wouldn't you? Well, God's Word said, when you act in that manner, you're a fool. You're acting just as the fools do. See why he's encouraging us in the fifth chapter not to be doing that? Not to be acting that way? Now to get to what I wanted to point out to and found curious. Verses 1 and 2, you saw that there. It's dealing with the mouth. Verse 3, it says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And then the next verse goes right back to the tongue, goes right back to the mouth. So we have the fact that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding good and evil, sandwiched right in between instructions concerning the tongue, the mouth. What do you think he's trying to tell us? Well, it goes back to the message this morning, doesn't it? And the Lord knows. When you get with the gang, when you get with the guys you work with, I may not be there. Brother Ron may not be there. But the Lord's there. He knows your speech. He knows what you're doing. Let me go a step further. He's in my house. He knows what I say to my wife. And not to let her off the hook, he knows what she says to me.
getting where we live, isn't it?
Psalms 14. In verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. We already read to you Psalms 53 and verse 1. It states the same thing. The fool. God calls them a fool. He calls the wicked a fool. Because they do not honor Him. They don't honor Him with their life. They don't honor Him with their speech. There's nothing that they honor God with. Gotta turn to James again. And I know you know this passage of Scripture well, or at least you should. But we're on the subject, so we need to consider it today. James chapter 3 and verse 4. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Now consider that. Here's a great big ship. Let's just be turned with a small helm, a small rudder, which is turned by a wheel or a lever. I used to have a 14-foot, 12-foot fishing boat. Slap a 5-horsepower motor, 7-horsepower motor on the back of it, and just go like this with it. Turn that bolt wherever. You can do the same thing with an oar. Your oars. Did some canoeing, wife and I did. You do the same thing with your oar. You use your oar back there as a rudder. Turn the canoe. Just something small in comparison to what you're turning with it. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Just think about that. How the fire start out. It could start out with just a little spark. Especially here in dry Florida. Just a little spark. Just a little ash from a cigarette butt. And consider how big a fire you can get going. He likens the tongue to that. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Did you catch that, what he said there? The tongue defileth the whole body. With our speech, we can defile the whole body. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison.
the tongue can no man tame. But I know one who can. If you got a problem with your speech, turn it over to the Lord. Turn it over to the Lord.
He's the only one that can. In keeping with this list, things that are impure, that might cause oneself or others to think impure thoughts. That's these things that he's talking about here. The filth in it, especially on foolish talking, is our subject. We generally don't think of foolish talking in that light, do we? But it is foolish talking, and there's a lot of other ways that it can be foolish talking, but especially the kind of foolish talking that he's talking about is one that might cause yourself or others to think or even motivate them to do impure things. Thoughts. Well, we started 10 minutes late, so I got 10 minutes here, right? Jesting. The word jesting, it's an archaic word. It's hard, would be naturally hard to know just what he's talking about, jesting there, but the word means pleasantry, humor. It always has to do with pleasantry, humor in a bad sense. In a bad sense. That is vulgar. It's right there with filthiness. Filthy speech. Obscene language. Obscene speech. Foolish speech. Jesting is that. As it is used in our text. There are individuals who are jesters. And we call it jesting. But it's not necessarily in a bad sense that they're jesting. You see, this is dealing with in a bad sense, in a vulgar sense. We know that kind of speech, don't we? We know that kind of jesting, don't we? There are those who jest. I might take some heat from this. How many of you remember Red Skelton? In recent years, I've seen a lot of Christians post a lot about Red Skelton and making him out to be a really good man. But let me tell you something about Red Skelton. In my mom and dad's house, we weren't allowed to watch the Red Skelton show. Because he would so, ever so casually make an off-colored comment in there. Jesse?
Oh, people thought it was humorous. Thought it was funny. That's what we're talking about, pleasantry, humor. But it's of a vulgar nature.
What was it Paul told the Corinthians? It wasn't even practiced among the Gentiles. It wasn't even talked about among the Gentiles.
It is that which easily turns and adapts itself to the moods and conditions of those with whom it may be dealing at the very moment. The sense is polished and witty speech as the instrument of sin.
And that's where I would categorize Red Skeleton and us kids in Mom and Dad's house not being allowed to watch Red Skeleton.
Because there were things that they said,
that us kids had no business hearing.
Turn with me to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Verse 6. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity, is foolishness, is emptiness. As far as the child of God, as far as Solomon could see, tell, there was no profit in it. It's off color. It's vulgar. It's vulgar before God. And it ought to be vulgar to you and I. Well, we got to quit there.